Well, good morning. Again, welcome back. We pray again that God has been watching over you again in a special way. We're so excited again about the news of hoping to reopen July 12th. We're just praying that God would just truly encourage those that are maybe haven't been able to join us again to be able to celebrate that time together. But remember, it's really primarily for those that haven't been able to join us. They get kind of a first pick. Because we're limited in some size in that regard, but know this, that we're trying to follow this, have the safest protocols possible again, so that everyone that comes can be assured that we've done all that we can to help everyone be safe and be able to worship and celebrate our Lord together. So let's jump into it. Last several weeks, I and Steve last week have been sharing with you about what it looks like to grow in the Lord. That do we want to plant fruit trees or flowers? And so these flowers here are beautiful. They last for a brief season. They don't take much care, but the reality is they're short term. We need those things in our lives. We need those celebrations. This July 12th, having a date in the calendar is going to be exciting, and being able to see each other and encourage one another for a bit. But we also need those fruit trees in our lives, that we need to be planting both flowers and fruit trees, long-term stuff. That the flowers and fruit trees allows us and encourages us to be the people God's called us to be, for us to be transformed from the inside out. And this all comes really from Psalm 139, where it has three main parts, where it talks about, at the end, verses 23 and 24, we pray, Lord God, search me. And if you've been praying this prayer, as I have these last several weeks, it has been just wrecking me, which is a good thing. It's a good thing. It's been one of those where God has been just challenging me to turn more over to Him. And as He's been doing that, He's been stretching me to the point where I'm just like, Lord, I don't know. Like, this is hard. This is really difficult. I thought it was hard before. Now you get what I'm saying, maybe. But this testing or breaking of us allows God to bring His healing. It's the pruning in our lives that God does to help us grow in Him. And then last week, Steve talked to you about how God wants to help lead us. So we have this search me, test me, lead me. He even talked a little bit about soil and gave you a nice little cool picture about it and everything, but how important the soil is for our growth. And so in considering that, when it comes to being a flourishing disciple, we're asking for you to prayerfully consider, to reflect upon, how is God working in you, developing you, pruning you, cultivating you, so you can be the person God's called you to be? How can we as a church support that growth? I remember before all this happened, I was meeting with a family that was looking to partner with us as a church. And one of them just flat out asked, I said, so, okay, if we do this, like, how much do we have to start giving? And I just was like, wait, what? Like, I was not expecting that in any way. I said, I'm sorry? And they go, well, what do we have to start giving to do this, to be a partner with you? I said, took a deep breath, and I just said, I want you to know this, that there is, I don't want you to give a thing until the Lord leads you to give. I said that you don't have to, you know, sign up for anything or anything like that. We're not looking for you to go down that road. What we are looking for you to do is partner with us in seeking the Lord. And in that, we believe God will grow that desire to be generous and to give, not just to us, but to in all of our lives. Because being a flourishing disciple is your head, your heart, and your hands. It's every part of your life. How is God affecting you in your relationships with family, with your friends, with your coworkers, or your neighbors? Every area of your life, every circle of influence you have should be impacted by God's work in your heart and in your life. And that's not just something that I think just sounds nice. I really think that's one of the most crucial parts of our journey on this side before being with God forever, that He wants to help us be more joyful. He wants to help cultivate us again to be more fruitful, to bear that fruit that will last. Well, today I want to kind of take it and kind of bring it to a kind of land the plane, if you will, that as we talk about planting fruit trees and flowers, that we talk about how is God growing us and cultivating us, that in that cultivating, in that time of growing, he will lead us into times where we go in the wilderness. Now, let me just kind of be clear here. I remember for years and years and years just trying to figure out, like, man, as soon as Jesus was baptized, it says the Spirit led him out into the wilderness. And I remember going, like, why did he do something bad? Like, why is he out there? Oh, he's got to be tested. Okay, but he is not tested for like 40 days. And I always saw the wilderness as a place of a burden, a place that was, you know, desolate. And what I have come to find in my studies, but also especially living it out in this COVID-19 season, is that this is a wilderness kind of experience. When God rescued his people, when they became his people, when he rescued those people out of Egypt, when they said, no more slavery for you, he takes them out, and he takes them into the wilderness. It's actually, we're going to jump into this wonderful, wonderful book called Exodus. This is Genesis, Exodus, second book in the Bible. So if you open to that, chapter 15. And we're going to kind of look through a few parts in Exodus, but mainly looking at this one text. Moses takes him into the wilderness, and they don't get it. Sometimes when God takes us into the wilderness, we don't understand what that means. It's not usually something someone asks for, but it is something that everyone needs. And so let's see how Moses deals with this, and let's see what we can glean from this kind of teaching. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they, I'll come important in here in a minute, went into the wilderness of Shur. So they're in the wilderness. Again, it's a different time period. They're not hiking a nice trail that's been cut out, like the Appalachian Trail or anything. No, here in the States, they're in the wilderness. There's nothing else. Continues on. They went there 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. You can imagine, this didn't go well, right? Like, now they're wondering, are we going to die out here? Like, doesn't Moses know what he's doing? He goes on. It goes on. The text goes, when they came to Marah, they found some water. Yeah, this is good news. They could not drink the water, though, of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. Sometimes we read stuff in the Bible and we just go, couldn't they have said it a little bit easier? They could have. Here's the good news. This Marah is not just because they're just wanting to make sure you know where it is. They're talking about bitterness. They're talking about the bitterness of the water. But when they came to the water, when they came to bitter, when they came as a bitter people, they could not drink the water because of its bitterness, and they named it Marah, the bitterness that we can experience, that we can become. Last night, I was picking up food for the family, and as I was getting it, we go to this one restaurant probably once a week, sometimes less, but usually once a week. We'll just go there, get our food, and we go. Almost always, there's something missing or something wrong. I mean, almost always. And so I just said, I'm going to go in. I got my mask on. I'm going to go in. I'm going to look at every little thing, right? So I'm pulling boxes out on the table. I'm like, I know. I look like whatever. Anyway, so I'm pulling it out because I know there's going to be something they didn't include or they forgot. And as I'm pulling out, I'm seeing, they did it. The tacos are supposed to have rice and beans and chicken and cheese and all this stuff. So I'm like going through, I'm like, man, they forgot the rice again. So I pull out. I said, ma'am, I'm sorry. The rice was forgotten again. I'm thinking, right? I'm not trying to be a jerk. I promise you, I'm not. But I realized after this exchange, because they're like, well, we have the rice in there. I'm like, there's no rice here. I'm looking, I'm like, putting my finger in it, no rice. You know, and they're like, okay. And they don't say anything else. They go back, they put the rice in there. They go, here you go, sir. They said, that's just how it comes when you order it the way you do. And I'm like, I've been coming here 3 years. They always put rice on here. I just don't know what to tell you. They're like, okay, sir. And they just kind of let it go and move on. I'm like, I don't get it. And I'm putting the food back in, and I'm walking out. And as I'm walking out, I'm going, at what point did they experience the joy of the Lord through meeting with me? They didn't. I confess that to you. I was just like, ah, what a jerk. And I'm like, that's not me. What's going on? Where's that? And I realize we've been in the wilderness for 3 months, and you can get tired in the wilderness. You can get bitter in the wilderness. You can get into a point where you're grumbling, complaining. And unfortunately, I'm kind of becoming more like those Israelites right now, and that's not good, but we'll talk about that. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So, I mean, they're just like throwing it out there. They're like, you know, oh, so now we got, now you give us, you know, bad tasting water. You know, first they didn't have water. They're not, you know. So they're grumbling and complaining. And you see this over and over again, this bitter, grumbling people that are in the wilderness. Later on in chapter 16, it says it like this. This same group of people still in the wilderness, they set out now for Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin. Now, that's not a condition of the heart, that's a place. Okay, so just to be clear on that, capital S. came to this the wilderness of Sin. So now there's a new area of wilderness that God is taking them, leading them in. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. They're just, first, by the way, just to why they're grumbling now, there's now no meat. They're like, now we're going to go hungry. We used to have food over in Egypt. They forgot that they were being killed, that they were enslaved, that things were not as good as they remember it. Isn't that true? Most of the times that we reflect on things, they're not as good as what we remember. But moving on, I digress. We have to be reminded, don't be a grumbler. Don't be a complainer. There's just times in our lives that, yeah, we don't ask for certain things. But is it helping anyone else by grumbling and complaining? No. So where's your heart in this wilderness? Has it been growing? Has it been being tilled and pruned? These are things that I'm taking to the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I know I'm a grump right now. I'm tired. I'm grumpy. And so I'm like, Lord, help me with this. I prayed a prayer, like many of you, saying, Lord, search me. Test me. And guess what? He's testing me. He's testing you. And he's showing us areas that we need to turn over to him and say, Lord, I need your help here. I need you to do a deeper work. I want to be a person that's filled with joy, not just because things are nice and good, but because I know who holds the future. Because I know that God is good. He's done a great work, and he's going to continue to do a great work. So what does God do when they grumble and complain? He continues to provide for them. The people of Israel ate the manna. He provides this manna 40 years till they came to a habitable land. Now, it's interesting here that this manna, they're in the wilderness. We're in the wilderness for 3 months and a few weeks, we'll see, and we pray that's it. But they are in the wilderness 40 years because they didn't believe God was who he said he was, and he was going to do what he said he was going to do. It was a group of people where God led them to this land, and said, this is going to be your place. This is going to be your land. And they sent a representative from each of the 12 tribes, so there's 12 of them, go over there, and they see like amazing things. They're just, this is a beautiful place. But there's some really, really, really crazy, strong people over there. I don't think we'll be able to win against them. And God's like, they're evil people. I'm going to give judgment upon them. Just trust me. And only two of them, only two of the 12 say, let's follow God's lead. Well, they did a whole majority rules thing. And unfortunately, God said, okay, you don't want to go in there. I'm still your God. You're still my people. But we're going to have to journey in the wilderness for you to learn to trust me. For you to learn to obey me. It took them 40 years. Let's be quicker learners. That's one of my takeaways from this, right? Let's not get stuck there. But they ate for 40 years this manna, like this bread that came down. Every day it would come down, it would land on the ground, and then they would go gather it, let it dry, and then they would eat it as for the morning. And at night, God would bring meat through like quail, and they would eat that. And so they were eating very well. God was providing every day in the wilderness because they needed it. They needed to learn to trust in him. Earlier, it was mentioned to you during the announcements that we're grateful for you, so many of you, pledging and honoring your pledge and sacrificing in your giving. You have been God's work, his hand, in providing manna for the church to continue, in providing ways for us to know that God is good and faithful. And to the point where we're just amazed. We really are amazed at what God's been doing in that. But understand this. the manna isn't meant just forever, right? That no point was, we're going to read this next verse as well, that manna lasts forever. Not that God doesn't provide forever, but that we need to learn to trust that he can provide even in a pandemic. That God is faithful even in a pandemic. That he is good. And so I want to encourage you, especially in this next verse. It says it ate for 40 years till they finally came to that land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. So here they are just being provided for. God takes them now, after 40 years of eating and providing for them, to this new land. God is a God who provides, but he doesn't just provide just because he is good and he loves all people, whether they love him or not. Remember, there's nothing you can do to make God love you any more or any less. That's great, good news. We should relish in that. But know this, that he doesn't do it just because. He does it to prepare us, to help us learn that we can trust in him. You can trust him this day. You can trust him for every day. Don't miss this time in the wilderness, as God has been pruning us, searching us, leading us, to help us learn to trust in him, to follow his lead, for us to not be scared of wherever he leads us, but to faithfully follow. One very interesting scripture, I don't want you to miss this. It's just so important. And the manna ceased the day after they ate of the produce of the land. And there was no longer manna for the people of Israel, but they ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. This is a time where God has been providing for us. But as he's been providing for us to help us to learn to trust in him, he's going to invite us. He invites us to be a part of what he's doing in the world. It's not that we don't need sustenance anymore. It's not that we don't need God to provide for us. He will still provide. But it's not about just what he gives us. It's about what we are invited to do with God. That as we work together, as we partner with him in this community, in this world, not only does it bring God a smile to his face, it helps us to experience his joy and his presence in such a tangible way. And so may you understand that God invites you this day and the coming days, that as we go into our Canaan, as we go into this promised land, that God leads us and we follow. He wants us to be his faithful hands and feet, his light in the darkness, his salt of the earth, that he is remaking for the taking. I'm not usually a rhymer, I promise you. I know this is hard for me because I kind of make fun of other pastors that rhyme everything or everything starts with an F or a P or things like that. Anyway, so I'm humbled to say this, but remaking for the taking, that he has been remaking us for where he's taking us. It's about us not pushing back, not be grumbling, not be bitter. God, why couldn't you? Why didn't you? And just say, yes, Lord, where are we going? Some of us, let me just get real here. Some of us maybe have been coming to church maybe our whole lives because we just thought it was just where we met some of our friends. We just came because that's just what we do. We just go to church on Sundays. Jesus didn't die just so we'd have a place to meet some friends. He gave his life so that we could really start to live life in him. He gave it all up so that we would be the people he knew we could become, so that we could be his hands and feet in the community. Are people better off because of you? Or are they not? It was brought to my attention that I need to give everyone more assignments. And when I was teaching at the college on a regular basis, this was kind of second nature. I guess I've gotten away from that. And so I was challenged to, you need to give us homework when we get together on Sundays. You need to give us homework. And I was like, I thought I have been giving you homework, but I have a slide now dedicated to homework. So be ready for seeing more of this slide. Your homework is to be asking God this question: how can I flourish in the wilderness? How can I start to be ready to go where you are leading us into? What do you need to do, that deeper work? Where do you need to test us? Where do you need to break us even? Where do you need to search me more? And where are you leading me? How can we be faithful to letting God be God and for us to be his people? You and I coming together, looking to serve what God wants to do in our community. I hope and pray that as we prepare and close our service here after the next song, that you will join us again to be reminded again of who we are in him, to know that as we worship together, we're renewed, we're reminded of who God is and his faithful promises. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the wilderness. 40 years in the wilderness for those people in the Exodus. 40 days for Jesus. Right now, we're over 3 months. And Lord, we pray that we would be ready for the ministry you've called us to. Just as you prepared Jesus, just as you prepared his people, you're preparing us today. That in the wilderness, you provide mightily, and our role is to learn and grow as we obey. And when you take us out of the wilderness, Lord, you invite us again to partner, to co-create with you. And so we humbly come before you. We seek your face, and we ask you, Lord, to do the deep work that's so needed. We pray for your grace. Pray for your strength, your mercy, your goodness. Do the work you need to do. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows final word. This word comes again from first part of the Pentateuch, or as I like to say, the Torah. God fed you in the wilderness. This is Moses talking to the people of to God's people, his last great really sermon before he passes on. God fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. That the wilderness, the manna that he provides, is to humble us, to test us, so that we are ready for where he is leading. He's not aimless. He's not haphazard. He wants to help us go where he is leading. He's not going to try to kind of just be doing hide and seek or play Marco Polo. He wants us to follow the leader. And so may you and I follow him. Maybe this is resonating in a way that you didn't see coming. I want to invite you to pray, obviously, but also after the service to gather for some encouragement, to know where your heart is and how others' hearts are, and how we're in this together. We're in this together. Now receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Where you go, God is sending you. Where you are, God has put you there. And he has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this. Go in his grace. Go in his love. And go in his power. Amen. We'll see you guys next week. God bless.